Thanks.
The recording has started.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to An Hour with an Angel. I'm Steve Beckel, chief editor of the Golden Age of Gaia. And with me today is Linda Dillon, who's the channel for the Council of Love and also the author of The New You and The Great Awakening. Welcome, Linda.
Welcome to you, Steve. What a great day we're having here with our special guest.
Absolutely. Our special guest is Sanat Kumar today, I understand. Is that correct? Mm-hmm.
And that's correct.
Well, let me introduce him while you make your preparations. And listeners may know or may not know that Sanat Kumar is the planetary logos. He, in fact, will be the solar logos at some point in time, but then, of course, there is no time on the other side. He is known to all the world's religions. He's incarnated and affected all the world's religions. I can name some roles that he has played. For instance, the Zoroastrians knew him as Ahura Mazda, the wise lord. Hindus would know him as Skanda and Subramanya. Buddhists would know him as Dipankara, the lamplighting Buddha, who received Gautama Buddha's request to be a Buddha. And Aztecs or Mexicans or Mayans, I actually don't know which, would know him as Quetzalcoatl. Now, I have to say that this is an amazing feat for me because my memory is not working very well these days. It's been taken away. And so the fact that I can recall this is astonishing me. But he has played a role in all the world's religions, and he is the keeper of the universal laws. And we're going to be talking to him today about practical uses of the universal laws. So with that, then, welcome, Sanat Kumar. Welcome, Raj.
I am Sanat Kumar. And yes, I am your dearest friend and ally, Raj. And welcome to you, my beloved friends, beloved Gaians, beloved family of this sweet planet. Welcome all. And I, like many, declare in this day that you call time, this night of infinity, that this vibration and frequency travel to all the hearts of Gaians, that all may continue to receive the multiple blessings that are being sent to each and every one of you continuously. It is a wave of love. It is a wave of practicality. It is a wave of trust and hope and grace that each of you receive. I bring you this night my golden radiance. I bring you the pink of Venus. Upon this glorious planet, you as human beings and you as Gaians are at the point where you have the opportunity to shift, to extend, to expand, to ascend, to descend into the love, to be the anchor, the beacon, the epitome of love upon this planet. Yes, I am often addressed in many ways, and as keeper of universal law, this is one of my pivotal roles as universal and planetary logos. It is the teaching, the application, the imparting, the anchoring, the integration of universal law into your very core and into the practicality of your life. I have had the privilege, the joy, and the honor of speaking to you, all of you, about universal law, individually and as a collective, for several years now. It has been my joy to share with you the essence, the substance, the elements of how universal law works, of how your planet and your system works. Beloveds, I have not shared this truth, this understanding, this wisdom as an esoteric exercise. For such exercises are merely, in many ways, simply of ego. And there may be many things that I come to the forefront to share, but it is not of ego. I come so that these laws may be applied, utilized in the very life that you are creating, in the co-creation of Nova Being, Nova Earth, Terra Gaia, in the new way of community, with each other, with your star family, with all beings, above and below, within and without. But the reason I have asked to step forward this night is that so much of what I share with you, what I eagerly share with you, is not being integrated or implemented in the fullness of what is possible. There are some of you who have chosen and selected certain laws that attract you, and that is a good thing, and you are utilizing these principles. But in many ways, we, and when I say we, I mean the entire Council of Love, I mean the entire Company of Heaven, and your brothers and sisters from far and wide, are somewhat surprised that this wisdom and knowledge, the depth of understanding, has not been more deeply embraced. Now, let me be very clear. I do not say this in the way of criticism and most certainly not of judgment. What I say to you is obviously and apparently I have not done an adequate job, have I, in sharing this information and the importance, the practicality of this information with thee? There are some who have suggested that I have moved on to a new role. That, my sweet friends, is not of truth. Yes, there will come a day in your realm and in ours when I will proceed to yet another assignment, but it will still be with universal law and the law of one, which is love. But until such time as all of Gaia, all upon her, have come to this next step of interdimensional, multidimensional reality, practical application of the law, the anchoring and the practice, the expression and the experience of love, I am going nowhere. Does that in any way dismay me? No. You live in this bracket of the mother's time, in the most exciting place in the multiverse. It is beyond imagination, human or otherwise. Well, never beyond the mother. But what is occurring is so magnificent, so splendid, of such impact throughout the multiverse, the omniverse, that this is the place to be. Angels and earth keepers, archangels, star seeds, portals and gatekeepers, wayshowers, pathfinders, you have chosen the right time and place to anchor your mastery, to accept the truth, the might, and the creative power of who you are. We have spoken to you about how you are the creator race. What does this mean in practical terms? How does one work with the creation formula that I have spoken of and taught you? Well, you also do it through the utilization of universal law. These are not laws that at this time are reflective of human law. Human law departed from the purity of the law and became entrenched in so much of the old third paradigm. But that was never of truth. Now Nova Earth and Nova Being works in accordance, lives in accordance, celebrates in accordance with the mother's laws, with the laws of one. Long ago, we have gone, not through the same process, but a similar process, upon Venus, which so many tend to think of as the planet of love. I would refer to it as the planet of grace. As Gaia and Earth go forward, you become that sister planet in the beauty of who you are. It is a return to original form. But the return to that original form is not by our declaring the mother's desire is already in place, so that is completed. But it is done in sacred partnership. Not with some, not with a select few, but with each and every one of you. Your planet, your collective. Too long in the old pattern of duality, polarity, lived in the haves and have-nots, the powerful and the disenfranchised, that is not of love. So it cannot be that there is a select few, that there is an in crowd and those left behind. That is not the collective desire that you have designed and declared. And it most certainly is not our desire. Now, are there some through that exercise called free will, choice, decision, who do not choose to transmute, transform, accept, acknowledge, embrace, love, or the laws, yes, and they are not merely the recalcitrant or the distracted? There are some who are simply indifferent and choose not to engage. That is acceptable. And in the infinite history of evolution, they are never excluded. So nothing is lost. What you think of as the smaller group, regardless of how you term yourself, what category you place yourself within, are the wayshowers. Because what you are doing in that repatterning is not only anchoring, but forging the way. You are breaking down the barriers, and you are opening the doors so that all are free and know themselves to be free. Now you say to me, Raj, what on earth or anywhere else does this have to do with universal law? Beloveds, allies, my family, when you are working, applying, invoking, utilizing the laws, it makes your life easier because you are in that alignment with the Mother, Father, One. In its most simplistic terms and its most complex, that is what universal law is. You have been given so many gifts, and particularly the gift of karmic dispensation, so that you are free to go forward. And forward is simply a term to mean movement. Movement that is in alignment and reflective of the Mother's movement. This is a time, what Jesus Ananda has declared, an extraordinary time of change, unparalleled opportunity to go forward, to shift, ascend, expand, be in the heart consciousness which opens the doorway of interdimensionality and awareness of that. Would you accept? Of course you would. So in my role as your planetary logos, I return to talk to you, to be your way-shore, to be your teacher, your healer, your mentor, your coach. Because this is my desire. This is my role. This is the fulfillment of my promise. Now, it is not only that my heart belongs to the Mother, Father, One, that I choose to do this. It is because my heart belongs to each and every one of you. That is the nature of my being, and that is the nature of your being. There is room enough in each of you to love everybody. Now, my dearest friend, Steve, where do you wish to begin this day?
Well, thank you very much, Raj. At the end of the broadcast, I have a question for you from a reader in Brazil. The opposition in Brazil is attempting, well, has voted to impeach Dilma Rousseff. But before we go there, let me ask you a very simple question about universal law. You once said to us that our lives won't work if we don't align with universal law. Can we take a very everyday example, that of a married couple, in which two people use every stratagem, every manipulation to get their partner to do something he or she does not want to do? That seems to be a violation and an ongoing violation of the law of free will. What are the consequences for the two people who routinely violate that law in this manner?
Well, the most dire consequence is you will never be happy. You will never move into the expanded heart consciousness. You will never know the bliss and the ecstasy. You will never be the fulfillment of who you are, your sacred design, your mission and purpose, if you persist in such behavior. Let us back up a little bit, and I am pleased to be practical. That is the nature, and perhaps what I missed on the first round.
Okay.
Why would you wish for someone to align with your will when it is not their will? What is it within your being that makes you think, feel, believe that you are more aligned, more correct, and have the position to assume superiority over another's life? How in any construct could this ever be considered love? How, in overriding what you think of as right or wrong, correct or incorrect, of what you think someone else is thinking, doing, behaving, feeling, how can that ever be translated as love? Well, it obviously cannot. It is an egoic move, and it is a move that is rooted in insecurity and lack of trust, forgiveness, and self-worth. Now, parents often are put in this very difficult situation with children who are entrusted to them. And you see what you discern, and that is different than judgment. So I want to make a difference between partners and parents and children. You see your child putting themselves in harm's way. and of course from love, you will wish to redirect or snatch them out of a position where they are going to be injured. But even in those situations, one must come from the purity of knowing rather than wanting, of discernment rather than judgment. And this is a very important topic to be discussed, and we will be. But when you are in a difficult situation, let us return to your question, beloved. With your partner, and you are trying because you genuinely, from the heart space of love, see that they are on a path that is not of their design or wholeness, you do not interfere with their free will. But you might wish, I would suggest, that in the relationship that you begin to invoke the universal law of sacred purpose, the universal law of change, the universal law of unity, of transmutation, so that that person and your relationship begins to shift, that it is in alignment with their highest good. Now, there are times when an individual in partnership comes into alignment with their highest good, because that is really the purpose of universal law, is it not? The highest good, the highest design, the purest love, in alignment with the Mother, Father, One. And there are times when invoking that law will mean one of two things. Either there will be harmony and balance restored to the relationship, or you will part ways. But you have need to accept and surrender. If the separation is the result, then that is in accordance with divine plan and your divine plan within that plan. But you cannot, not at risk of your soul and your soul purpose, you cannot interfere or try to override another's free will. It is highway robbery. Is this clear today?
It's, well, 99% of it was clear. 1% was not.
Then assist me in my role and tell me, okay, what do you not understand?
Well, you said, and this has puzzled me for a long time, you said that we'd never be happy if we violated universal law. St. Francis, as a young man, violated every universal law one could think of. I'm going to exaggerate for the sake of clarity. He reveled, he cajoled, he wasted every moment in the most debauched way he possibly could. And yet he experienced the bliss of realization. How could this be? And he's not the only one, by the way. There are others, too, who have led similar lives. And in a moment, their lives have been transformed. How can this be?
And in that moment, they aligned with their sacred self and the self, the One. So it is not, if you have lived as you have put it, a debauched or erroneous life, that you can never reach this place of knowing. But it is from that place of knowing and connection that you proceed to really create. Now, you create every single day. So it is also erroneous when I hear time and time again human beings, Gaians, saying, I don't know how to create. If you are breathing, you are creating. If you are trying to override your partner, you are creating. If you are beating your children, you are creating. If you are drugging and drinking, you are creating. But are you creating what you desire? Are you expanding love? Are you in alignment with the law? Is what you're creating going to last? Or will it be destructive and lead to your downfall? You may be happy in the moment of being in debauchery, but will it give you eternal grace? No. So I am not suggesting to you, and that is why I have mentioned the children who go also on these scenic detours. There are times when the forays into experimentation, that is what I will call them, serve a purpose, much the same way as illness or dis-ease can serve a purpose. But it is to know, not think or feel, but to know what is the experience of that, the expression of that. But that is not the end game. And that most certainly is not the end game for this planet. Now, let me say something very frightening. Can it be? Not really. That game of debauchery, which we could say has existed for hundreds of thousands of years, is not the truth. And perhaps I err when I say you will never be happy, but you most certainly will never be in joy or bliss. There is a point at which one departs from that belief system or that engagement in a vibratory rate that is not uplifting and aligns with truth, with the law, with the love. And it is only then that the sublime joy enters. Does this clarify for you?
Yes, it does. And I know St. Francis has a wonderful sense of humor, so I'm going to say that I think he made up for his earlier life in his life of asceticism as Mahatma Gandhi.
I could make a joke as well and say, was this one not extremist from one end to the other?
Oh, yes, indeed. And I'm sure he had other lives that would illustrate that as well.
Yes, he does.
What a task we have ahead of us, because, you know, the people of Earth, I believe, are yearning for freedom. They're yearning to be free of all chains and encumbrances and constraints and injunctions and all the... I mean, they've led a life... some people have called a slave. Some people have called this a prison planet. So they're going to burst out of their chains. And then we're going to turn around to them and say, well, now you need to learn about universal law. And I think many people will say, well, sorry, I'm on vacation, or sorry, I just got here and I don't want to go back into what they might conceive of as a jail. Can you speak to that, please?
Yes, and I will speak of it in several ways. First of all, universal law. I have had it called many things. Jail is not one of them.
There are lots of firsts happening at this time.
Yes, there most certainly are. But if you wish to think of universal law in this way, then universal law is the pick, the chisel, the key. It is not something to constrain you, but rather to free you, to open that cell and show you. So let us use this example. If you are in jail, literally or otherwise, and you begin to use universal law, and you invoke the law of free will, the law of intent, the law of instantaneous transmission, the law of dispensation, what you do is you begin to call in an energy whereby the cell door opens, where you think of even human but certainly divine justice comes and unlocks the cell. Now let me back up a little bit, because I am committed to truly making you understand. I hope I will. I know I will. Mm-hmm. Human beings, as you say, far too many are yearning for freedom, that believe that they are restricted, constrained, chained. There is a whole list of ways in which to describe it. But let us start with the truth. And the truth is, you are free. You have always been free. You came free. Even those who have been enslaved, even those that are currently enslaved in prisoner camps, etc., in jails, you, your essential self, is free. Now partner that with the, not the belief, but the fact, immutable, that you are a creator, that you have brought the fullness of your soul design into this tiny little body, because it is small, and in that, you have everything you need. So it is like a puzzle. You are in the jail. The file, the key, the hammer, the pliers, they're all stuck in your mattress, and you don't know they're there. But if you lie on that mattress to meditate and said to me, Raj, could you help me out here? You would immediately feel all the lumps sticking in your back and your backside, because the tools are there. You are not imprisoned. You only believe. And it is false. And this falsehood has been so deeply ingrained and believed that you don't even try and leave the compound. But it is not real. You say to me, but Raj, it is real. I don't have enough money to go and explore. My job is to save all the animals. I do not have the money to buy the land in which to keep the animals. And so I would say to you, my beloved friends? Are you invoking the laws of within and without, above and below? There is no shortage of what you think of as resources, cold hard cash. We don't use that currency, but you may think of it that way. In our realm, there is only abundance. When you start to invoke this law of what is above is within me, it is in my bones, it is coming to me, I am attracting it, I am invoking the law of attraction and repulsion. So I am pulling it into my being, into my sphere, into my life. Then you think outside of you, well, there are many, many resources and abundance upon your planet. You say, yes, but I don't have any. But are you pulling it? Are you declaring, not stealing, but accessing and pulling it to you? That you have, not to the detriment of another, because don't forget, there is only abundance. This planet was created with infinite abundance. That is what is being restored. But when you come from a place of belief in scarcity, then that is exactly what you get. If you are believing and practicing in the law of flow and abundance, that is what you get. You see this every single day, whether it is finding a dime on the street or a stranger giving you a dollar. It matters not. But when you sit and you feel the shackles on your ankles and on your wrists, and you say, I am trapped. I do not have any power. Then you have created, powerful creation, a self-fulfilling prophecy. But when you refuse, when you exercise your power of no, not just yes, and you say no, that is not in alignment either with my free will and choice, and it certainly is not in alignment with the mother's will. If you are born, if you have come to this incarnation to live in poverty, I am being practical here, then within your heart, not within your ego or your psyche, but within your heart, you don't have the desire to go and create millions. There is a knowing within you that you have come to this lifetime to allow others to express generosity and sharing. So you don't have the same drive. Now, if you are in dire poverty and you think, this is not what I agreed to, then you do have that desire. You aren't listening to what your heart is telling you, not about us, but about you. We keep saying to you, and I am not going anywhere, I am in sacred partnership with you, collectively and individually. And what that means is I am here to help. It's very simple, but it begins with you knowing you are already free. You always have been. So let that illusion that old illusion of control. Because it is an exercise in control that you feel imprisoned. Let it go. You have that saying that the emperor is wearing no clothes? Well, not only is he not wearing any clothes, dear heart, he has no substance. That God control that has been worshipped, that erroneous power figure, it does not exist. Let it go.
Raj, I have another question, and then I'm going to try to allow between 5 and 10 minutes to discuss Brazil. The last question I have on the subject is I can hear some folks saying, oh, this is so complicated. I need a PhD to understand the universal laws. I don't have the time or the wits for it. What would you say to them?
What I would say to you, even though we have given you a body of 13 very simple laws, think of it in very practical terms. You do not need a PhD or anything else. What you need is your heart. Because that is where love lives. That is where truth lives. Think of it in terms of your digits. So you go through this very simple process when you are trying to create. Is this in alignment with who I am? My sacred purpose? Is this what I really want? Is this for my highest good? The answer is yes, you proceed. And you invoke the law of sacred purpose. If the law is not fitting, if the answer is no, then you simply set it aside. It is not memorizing ancient texts. It is not learning new ritual. It is very, very practical. I feel that I need a new pair of shoes. Oh, wait a minute. The angels go barefoot. Am I intended to go barefoot? No, because there is too much dirt and pollution upon the beloved face of Gaia. And besides which, my feet hurt. So you think of this. And you say, okay, then can I have the shoes from the enormous warehouse of shoes on this planet? Can I pull from what's out there, the without, to me, to the within? Outside your field, inside your field. Without is outside of you. Within is inside your field. Can I pull very practically a pair of shoes to me? Can someone help me with this, either with the money, the fit, or the wherewithal? I want my loving partner. And I know that my love, my twin, in most cases, is above. Can you please help me? In the below, I'm sitting here dying on the vine. I want someone to talk to love, to share, to grow, to be with. Can you send me somebody? Then when they show up, Don't pretend that you never asked or that you have nothing to learn from this person or that you're suspicious because it came out of thin air. When you simply work with the laws, you have sayings that have been in your various languages all your life. These are simply reflections of balance, of attraction, repulsion, change. Right now, your planet is going through such change. If you ignored all the laws and said, I'm working with the law of change, just help me to change into who I am, to change what doesn't work, and to bring in what does. That's all the law of change is. It's realizing that everything, every breath in, every breath out, is change. It is simple as the seasons, as the sun coming up and going down, as the moon coming up and going down. Why do you think that this is complex? It is the pattern of the mother, and it is already within you. So it is not hard. So how about, sweet Gaians, if you just work with the law of change.
Well, thank you for that, Raj. I'm going to turn to Brazil. One of our readers from Brazil has asked, what is our fate? What is our future? The Dilma Rousseff is being impeached. Probably, it looks like, by corrupt opponents who are trying to mitigate their own process of exposure. What can you tell Brazilians about what's happening in their country and what the outcome looks like it'll be?
What you are seeing in Brazil, you are also seeing and witnessing and participating in Iraq, Iran, Syria, the United States of America. So there are two pieces here. But let us talk first about the broader desire on the part of the people, the populace, the Gaians, to change. Now, many who are engaged in this desire to free themselves from the shackles of oppression do not understand the political intrigue and gamemanship that is going on at the higher level. So let us first talk about that. The fact that so many upon the planet are desiring this shift is promising. It is not that they are, and I'm talking about the collective now, that they are seeking power. They are seeking equality, community, and unity. And that is a positive thing. Now, you may say or think or feel that you think that some of these large groups, depending on which side of the coin they are operating on, are being manipulated with half-truths or untruths. And that is true, by the way. But that does not negate this human spirit drive that people are finally collectively realizing there are some serious mistakes and errors that are not of love on both sides, on all sides. that have more to do with the maintenance or the gaining of control and power than they have to do with sharing and freedom and love. So the wellspring, the wave of change that you are seeing in a variety of expressions is a very positive move. Now, how you would work with the law of change is to make sure and invoke that this change is for the highest good of the collective, and that is in alignment with the mother's plan. That is the practical two-second exercise. Now, in Brazil, might I suggest to you, why don't I just tell you, that neither side is completely clean. That there have been errors and missteps on both sides. And there have been desire for power and the maintenance of power on both sides. In Brazil, by those who are in power, there was a genuine desire to create positive social change, to move in the direction of Nova Earth and Nova Being. But there have been many vested interests. Yes, money. Money and power. They go hand in hand in many places. Not always, not in Nova Earth, but in the old. And they have been displaced and they are feeling it, and therefore there is a great deal of rumor mongering on the part of what you call the opposition in order to discredit the current ruler. And it is very likely that she will be impeached because there have been some missteps. But all of this, for the truth to come out, if all the people of Gaia or Brazil were beginning to invoke the law of change for the highest and best, you would see a very different outcome. The truth would reemerge. There would be what you think of as reparation, repentance, reconstitution. And that would be a good thing, because the vision of true governance, not government, governance, would be restored. What is happening is that many of the populace that is desirous of change, instead of truly working for the changes that would be so positive, are buying into one side or the other, into the drama of one is right, one is wrong. One will win, one will be defeated. Rather than looking at what is the best solution, what would truly serve the people and the spirit of freedom that lives in Brazil more than many, many places. So that addiction to drama, which does not exist here. So if they were to say, make it below as it is above, that truth will reign. Call in Michael so that truth will emerge and peace will be re-anchored. That is a very practical use of universal law. But there is a period of great upheaval right now in Brazil. And unless there is a shift away from the drama and into the truth, there will be a great deal of destruction and chaos, and that is very sad because it sets the planet and the collective back.
I hear you on a great deal of chaos, but I think that listeners in Brazil, for instance, who hear that, will want to know, well, how great? And I realize we have very little time now, but is it going to, for instance, slide into civil war?
No, it is highly unlikely that it will slide into civil war. It will be civil unrest and turmoil for a period of months, and then it will settle down.
Okay. That's very good. Well, thank you for that word for the people of Brazil who are very anxious about what's happening, and it sounds like they have a anxiety-producing period ahead of them, unfortunately.
But do not fall into the fear. Fall into the trust and call us. That's what partners are for.
Right. It is a little uncomfortable to be sitting here in the trust when all about us are, you know, where the flames are rising all above us, etc. It feels a little as if we're off in a world of our own, so to speak. And maybe we are.
And in another way, when the flames are arising all around you, what else can you do?
I suppose. Maybe we can discuss that in a future program too, Raj.
I would like that.
Very good. Well, thank you ever so much for coming here today and giving us another insight into this most important topic of the universal law.
Oh, it is my pleasure. And I am not about to give up.
No.
So is my love.
Thank you, Raj.
Farewell.
Farewell.
This session